This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama brought to you every Tuesday at RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from the Silver Theater. We'll hear The Man from Medicine Bow. Their story from April 9th, 1939. After that, it's Have Gun, Will Travel, and The Colonel and the Lady. Their episode from April 12th, 1959.
International Silver Company presents The Silver Theater, starring Chester Morris and Glenda Farrell in The Man from Medicine Bow, directed by Conrad Nagel. Brought to you on behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Conrad Nagel greeting you from the stage of the Silver Theater in Hollywood and bringing you the 28th in our new series of dramatic productions. Before the curtain rises on today's performance, we'd like to announce that for the next 2 weeks, Silver Theater will star Robert Montgomery. And among the other brilliant personalities whose names grace our guest book for future dates are Joan Crawford, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., and Helen Hayes. The house lights dim, and the silver curtain is about to rise on the first act of The Man from Medicine Bow, a comedy by Paul Franklin, starring Chester Morris and Glenda Farrell as Dave Sheridan and Connie Bannister. The scene, the Lazy Bee Ranch, one of the finest outfits in Wyoming. Dave Sheridan, young owner of Lazy Bee, is just riding up to the ranch house.
Hello, Judge Ellsworth. Be right with you.
All right, Dave.
Where do you want us to put these yearlings, Dave?
Back in the North Corral, Tags.
Whoa there, boys.
I'm sorry to keep you waiting, Judge.
Why, not at all, David. I suppose you know why I'm here.
Well, sure, I got an idea.
Yes. David, according to the terms of your father's will, of which my bank is the trustee, we are authorized to turn over to you today the proceeds of the entire estate. And whereas...
Never mind the whereases. Where's the check?
The check? Why, you mean you're not going to let us reinvest the funds?
Well, maybe after I get back, Judge. You see, I'm finally taking that trip to New York.
New York? Yes, but Dave,
now, don't you give me that, Judge. It was bad enough that Dad hated New York and fixed that will just to keep me from going there. But today, the provisions of that will have been carried out, so I'm on my own.
But why should you go east? After all, the West's a mighty fine country, Dave.
Oh, the West, yeah, where men are men. Nothing ever happens anymore. Back there, it's different. Look, Judge, do you realize what goes on in New York? The kind of people that live there, the things they do? Well, I'll bet you don't even listen to Walter Winchell.
Huh? Well, I do,
and what's more, I've read every story, every column written about Broadway for the last 10 years. Maybe I've never been out of Wyoming, but I know New York almost as well as Slapsy O'Connor himself.
Slapsy O'Connor?
Sure, the head of the poultry racket. You mean you've never heard of him, Judge? Why, don't you see, there's no use talking when it comes to Manhattan. We speak a different language.
Well, perhaps we do, but the fact remains that you will have a good deal of money and you don't know anyone back there.
Oh, don't worry about that either, Judge. There is one person in New York that even Dad admitted was a square shooter. Roomed with him at college. A banker named Bannister. And I always promised that if I did go east, I'd look him up.
Well, I wish you reconsidered, David, but I suppose you won't.
Oh, not a chance. I wired Mr. Bannister this morning, and as soon as he gives me the come on, I'm coming on.
Yes, sir?
Miss Bannister is expecting us, Miss Dillon and Mr. Van Ostrand.
Oh, yes, Mr. Van Ostrand. Miss Bannister is in the library.
Thank you.
Say, Teddy, we've just got to talk Connie into going with us this weekend.
Leave it to me.
Oh, Connie.
Hello, Kay and Teddy. Oh, you're just in time. This is wonderful.
What's happened?
Me. I've just inherited the Lone Ranger.
I owe Silver.
You what? Say, Teddy, does she look all right to you?
Never can tell about the Bannister family, I always say.
All right, you can clown, but look at this. This telegram that just came for Dad.
Yeah?
Naturally, I couldn't get it to him. He's on the Normandy. So I opened it and listened. Dear Mr. Bannister, always promised Dad would look you up if I came New York. Stop. Anxious leave Medicine Bow at once and fly east. Stop. Would it be convenient for you show me some of the towns? Stop. Particularly anxious to meet any gangsters you may know. Stop. Please wire reply. Gratefully yours, David Sheridan.
Oh, Connie, I don't believe it. It's a gag.
It's not a gag. The man actually believes we hobnob with racketeers and mobsters.
Well, who says we don't? Teddy, can't you help Connie out? Haven't you got a thug friend or two left over from Prohibition days?
What do you mean, friend? What's the matter? Who is this guy Sheridan? And if he's coming here to try to muscle in on our territory, I'll rub him out. That's what I'll do. I'll rub him out.
Jeepers, how you gonna do it, killer, honey?
Oh, this may be funny to you, but look, I've got to... Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What, Connie?
Look, do you suppose... Now, this Dave Sheridan has never seen any of these gangsters, has he? So what's to stop you from providing them for him?
Hmm? Us?
Yes, you. Kidding, it's just like you were doing now.
Oh, Connie, the guy'll never fall for that.
The fellow who wrote that telegram will fall for anything.
And besides, if he's any kind of a person at all, he'll only laugh himself when he gets wise. Oh, let's try it. First, I'll wire him to come on. And then we'll have to get in touch with Babs and Clark Palmer. After all, just you two won't be enough. Then a night or two after he arrives, I'll make reservations at one of the clubs. Mm-hmm. You, Teddy, can be Slapsy O'Connor, and Clark can be Bubs Halstead, and you two girls will be their moms. Then somehow Dave Sheridan and I will just happen to bump into you. Then we'll give him a taste and... You know, I still can't believe it. You know that, don't you, Mr. David Sheridan?
Oh, you mean I should have worn chaps and carried six-shooters?
Well, hardly that. But I was all prepared the other day for boots and a 10-gallon hat. And then you stepped off that plane dressed just like a page out of Esquire.
Yeah, and what then, Connie?
Well, I was surprised.
Disappointed?
No, surprised.
Oh, gee, Connie, it's really been swell of you to bother with me like this. Meeting me, showing me the town, having me to dinner.
Oh, by the way, more coffee?
Oh, no, thanks. Say, Connie.
Yes?
I've been meaning to mention this. I'll bet you think I'm an awful hick. I mean, that wire I sent about... Well, about all the things I wanted to see. Gangsters and what have you.
Well, I must admit, until I saw you, I did have a different picture.
Well, I'd like to have you understand how I feel about that, Connie. You see, I came from a part of the country where, well, the so-called bad men used to operate. Why, my granddad led the posse that chased Bat Masterson out of the territory.
Really?
And now, all the men like Masterson and Billy the Kid and Wyatt Earp, I mean, they're kind of men. They're not out west anymore. They're back here, in New York, in Chicago. Maybe it's crazy, but I'd like to see some of them face to face, just to see if they're anything like my idea of them.
You're still determined to meet gangsters, Dave?
Yeah, if it's all the same to you, but... maybe you don't know any.
Oh, I know some, all right. Ever hear of Slapsy O'Connor and Bugs Halstead?
O'Connor and Halstead, have I? You know them?
Yes, Dave. We'll probably see them tonight. You see, I made reservations at the Club Alamo.
Club Alamo, huh?
Yes, that's where O'Connor and Halstead hang out.
At the Alamo? Ah, oh, Connie, the Alamo belongs to Mushmouth Davis. Everybody knows that.
You don't tell me.
Why, sure. Halstead and O'Connor own the 43 Club.
Well, of course, I wouldn't know. I've only lived in New York all my life.
Well, you don't have to take my word for it. Here, look at these. You believe Winchell, don't you?
Clippings. Why, your wallet's stuffed with them.
Sure, I've been saving every word written about Broadway for the past 10 years. Of course, if you want to go to the Alamo...
Oh, no, no. You want to see the town, right? We'll go to the 43.
Connie.
Huh?
What's wrong? Is it my dancing?
Your dancing? Well, if you're a sample of medicine goes dancing, then a lot of the men I know should go to Wyoming.
Well, then, if it isn't that, it's something else. You know, you've been quiet ever since we got here.
Well, it's just that... Well, look, Dave. Don't you think we ought to skip this gangster business?
But why?
Dave, do you realize that that type of...
Huh?
Oh, nothing. Let's dance.
Sure.
Dave.
Yeah? What is it?
Dave, over there. At that table in the corner. That's them.
Who?
Bugs Halstead and Slapsy O'Connor. They're sitting there with their two malls.
No! Connie, are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure. Shall we go over there so I can introduce you?
Oh, come on. Oh, what a break. Say, do you really know him?
No. I went to school with him.
Oh, great.
Well, here we are. Hello, Mr. O'Connor and Mr. Halstead. How are you?
Dame, how's tricks, girlie?
Oh, fine. This is my friend, Mr. Sheridan, from Wyoming.
Oh, an honest to goodness cowboy.
Hiya, Buck. Did he bring his horse and guitar?
All right, quiet, you dames. Miss Bannister and Mr. Sheridan, Miss LaRue, and Miss LaJoy.
Just call me Margie, big boy.
And my pal, Bugs Halstead.
Please.
Won't you drag up a chair and join us?
Well, sure. That is, if Miss Bannister...
Why not? Oh, gee. I wish that music would stop.
Don't you like music, Miss LaRue?
Huh. Every time this mob of Bugs pulls a job, I gotta sit in a car with the radio on. Boy, do I hate music.
Say, talking about jobs... We put away a neat one yesterday. Three guys get their throat slit, and the cops ain't got any idea who pulled it.
Three men had the... You mean you?
Not us. We just run the mob. A couple of Brooklyn boys who take care of the finger work.
Oh.
What's the matter? Don't you like knife jobs, Bunny?
Who, me? Oh, sure. Nothing like a shiv, is there?
A what?
A shiv, a knife. Isn't that what you call them?
Oh, yeah, sure. A shiv, sure. Say, you seem to know what the score is around here, don't you?
Well, I try to keep up on things.
Out west, they seem to keep ahead of things.
Sure. Talking about shivs, you ever handle one?
Well, no, not really, but I've done a little work with a rod. That's a gun.
Eh? Say, you know, that gives me an idea. Hey, look, buddy. We're figuring on pulling a big stick up, see? Over 200 G's in it, cash. Everything's set, except we ain't got a dynamiter.
Oh, you mean a soup man. Yeah, someone to blow it up.
Nah, I mean a guy what's handy with a gun.
Oh, I thought you called them torpedo.
That was last year. Now we call them dynamiters.
I'll try to remember that.
Yes, by all means, Dave. It'd be a shame to go back home with last year's vocabulary.
Look, honey, do you mind clamming up? We're talking business.
I'm sorry. Pardon me.
Okay. Now, here's the office on the job. These New York bulls don't know you. You handle a Tommy gun, and we cut you in for a third. How about it?
Well, I don't know. I hadn't quite...
You don't have to dump many guys. Just two, three watchmen.
Just two or three. Now, look here. I don't mean I don't like you fellas, but, well, you see, I'm not very good with a Tommy gun.
Yeah? Well, you know too much now for us to deal you out. You feel that?
Yeah. What is it?
At the 45, I got my pocket. Now, how about it?
Well, look here,
now, wait a minute, boys. Boys, he's right. You can't expect him to make up his mind without thinking it over. You've got to give him time.
Yeah, so he can run to the cops and squeal.
Oh, now, Bug, Slapsy, please, give him a chance. Don't force him into it.
Not in doing.
Well, give him till tomorrow. Now, look, you can all come to my apartment for cocktails. Say about 3 o'clock. He'll be there. I promise you he'll be there, and he'll give you his answer then.
Well, okay. But, sister, if this hillbilly crosses us, it's lights out. Remember that, Wyoming. Lights out.
Yeah. I'll try to remember that.
Ladies and gentlemen, before the curtain rises on Act Two of tonight's Silver Theater performance, I'd like to say just a few words about important occasions. Because so often it takes an important occasion to make people realize how inadequate their silverware is. Let's say you're giving a wedding breakfast for your daughter, or a very special dinner party for your husband's client. Naturally, you want everything to go off particularly well. But if your silverware is a miscellaneous collection of two or three different kinds, then you're not going to be as happy about that important occasion as you should be. So why not do this now? Accept the invitation of John Conte.
Ladies and gentlemen, why not visit your silverware dealer tomorrow, Monday, and see the beautiful 62-piece service of gleaming silver plate, which 1847 Rogers Brothers now offers you at a saving of more than $14 over open stock price. It's created in the pierced pattern Lovelace, a pattern of wedding ring orange blossom inspiration whose sterling-like detail gives it a rich and unusual beauty. And on every graceful piece is that proud year mark, 1847, to assure you that here is silver plate made by America's foremost designers, a house of more than 92 years' supremacy in silver plate design and craftsmanship. See this lovely service tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, and find out on what surprisingly easy terms you can own the aristocrat of silver plate, 1847 Rogers Brothers Silver Plate.
Again, the lights are being dimmed and the silver curtain rises on the concluding act of The Man from Medicine Bow, starring Glenda Farrell and Chester Morris. It's late the following morning. It's been a fitful, restless night for Dave Sheridan, tossing and turning, still unaware that his meeting with Slapsy O'Connor and Bugs Halstead at the Club 43 has been only a hoax. He is still sleeping when a few blocks away.
Come on, let's get out of here. All right, step on it.
Eastern National Bank robbed at 200,000.
Hello. Are you sure Miss Bannister's not there? Well, she heard about the robbery. Halstead and O'Connor. Yeah, they did it. They got her father's bank. Huh? Oh, never mind. Listen. They're supposed to come to her apartment at 3 o'clock. If they show up, don't let them in. Meanwhile, I'll try to head them off at their nightclub.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, what do you want?
O'Connor and Halstead, where are they?
What's that to you?
Never mind, just tell them it's Dave Sheridan from Medicine Bow.
Medicine Bow?
And I want to see him about that Eastern National Bank robbery.
What?
You see, I know who pulled that job.
You do, eh? Okay, just stay where you are.
We got to do something about this. What do you want? Don't you know we're busy?
Slapsy, Bugs. There's a guy out here says he knows who's pulled that job this morning.
What's that?
He does, huh? Some stoolie looking for a cut. Ditch that bag.
Check.
Okay, let him in. Get out in the street and keep your eyes and ears open. Maybe he didn't come alone.
Right. Hey, you.
Yeah?
Go on in.
Sure. Thanks. Now look here, you men. You... Hey. Wait a minute.
Yeah, what?
Well, there's some mistake. I want to see O'Connor and Halstead.
I'm O'Connor and he's Halstead. What about it?
Oh, now, don't kid me. Look, I know Halstead and O'Connor. Miss Bannister and I had dinner with them and their mauls, their friends here last night.
Eh? Yeah, you was here last night. I remember now. I seen you with that Park Avenue bunch.
Park Avenue bunch? What? Wait a minute. Oh, that Park Avenue bunch, eh? I get it now. Yeah. I'm sorry, my mistake. You see, I'm a stranger in town, and I'm just learning my way around. So I'll be running along.
I wouldn't hurry.
Well, I've got an appointment at 3 o'clock.
Maybe it can wait.
That bank job today, you know something about it?
The bank job? Oh, no. I was just talking. Didn't mean a thing. So long.
There we are.
Now, wait a minute, boys.
I don't know who you are, but you played a bum card this time. Bugs, frisk him.
Right.
I don't think you'd better try that.
No? Well, turn around.
Huh? Sure. Like this.
Hey, Bugs, look out. He's going to throw you over his head.
Get clear of him so I can shoot. Bugs, here, you fool. Break away from him. O'Connor, O'Connor, the gun.
All right. Back against the wall, both of you. Move.
Now, look here, fella.
Now, I want you to do as I say and move fast. Where's that money?
We haven't got...
No? If that money wasn't here, you wouldn't be. Better make up your mind, O'Connor.
Hey, he means it, Slapsy. It's in there, bud.
Yeah? Thanks.
Look. You don't think you're going to get away with this. Get smart, make a split, and we'll call it square.
Sorry, I've got other plans, O'Connor. And I'll need this money.
I hope you won't mind waiting in here till I get underway. So long, and thanks for saving me a lot of trouble.
Well, how do you like... Hey! Hey, open up! Hey, you!
Shut up.
Huh? Come on.
But why tip him off now, Connie?
Why, sure, the way he fell for the gag last night, we could carry it on forever.
Yes, Connie, what's happened to you? Don't tell me you've gone soft for Mr. Wide Open Spaces.
Well, suppose we went to Wyoming. We'd be pretty green ourselves, and we wouldn't expect the people that we... Well, that is, we wouldn't expect our friends to try to make fools of us.
Hear, hear, Connie, defender of the downtrodden.
Downtrodden, Dave Sheridan? Huh. Say, I'd hate to have him really sore at me, but... You know, maybe Connie's right. Suppose we just use the gag again when he first gets here and then let him in on it. I want to see his face when Connie tells him.
Oh, and that reminds me. There's not going to be any... Oh. Hey. Well, hello.
Hi, Connie. Hope I'm not late. Hello, Slapsine, Bugs. Hiya, Miss LaJoy.
How are you today, handsome?
I'm all right.
Glad you showed, Wyoming. Thought you might have gotten cold feet.
Now, that's very funny coming from you.
Dave. What's wrong with you?
Wrong? Why, nothing. They just give me a laugh, that's all.
Who?
Your friends. The smartest racketeers in New York.
And huh? Who says we ain't, buddy? Who says we ain't?
You gonna rub them out, Slaps?
Oh, stop it, you two. Dave, what are you talking about?
This. Read it.
Huge loss in bank holdup.
That's right. A $200,000 job. Mighty nice of Slapsy and Bugs here to tip me off on.
We tipped you off?
Sure. So I pulled it without you.
Dave, you didn't rob that bank yourself.
No.
But you couldn't. That's crazy. You're not a crook.
I'm not, huh? Open that bag.
Why,
do as you're told.
Look, it's money.
There's thousands here.
Yeah, exactly 200,000. That's what the paper said. I haven't bothered to count it yet. Thought I'd wait till now. You see, since you boys gave me the steer, well, I want to cut you in.
Cut us in?
Oh, wait a minute, Sheridan.
Your boy's going sort of soft all of a sudden, aren't you?
Oh, Dave, listen to me. You didn't really do this thing. You couldn't. Why, that bank belongs to my father.
Talk to your friends. It was their idea.
Oh, Dave, what's the matter with you? You can't be such a fool. This whole thing was just a gag. Now, you can't take it seriously.
No, why can't I?
Because you'll get caught, Dave. You'll be in a terrible jam.
Suppose I am. What's that to you?
It's a lot to her, if you want to know.
Kay. After you left us last night, she said she wondered where Wyoming had been all her life.
Did you say that, Connie?
I suppose I did.
Come here.
Well? Oh, Dave, please. I'm sorry, really, I am. I didn't really mean to... Dave,
come on, girls. The line forms at the right.
Well, that settles that. Connie, you're coming with me.
And what?
You're coming with me. Gangstering's a waste of time unless you got a moll to hang the diamonds on. And you'll do. Now get the money and let's go.
Why, you... You big overgrown moron. If you think I'd go away with you and with my own father's money...
Well, I could steal somebody else's money.
Oh, will you get out of here?
Okay, sorry. Toss me that bag.
Huh? Oh, here.
Too bad, too, Connie. You know, we'd have looked swell together in the tabloids. Well, a guy can't have everything.
So long.
Well, can you be having nightmares and still have your eyes open?
Honey, what's happened to that guy?
Oh, is that all you're going to do? Ask questions? We've got to stop him. We started this. Well, we're going to finish it, too.
Connie, who are you calling?
The police. I'm going to...
All right, put down that phone and quick.
Who are you? How dare you break in here?
Maybe she wants us to come in the front way and send up our names.
Shut up. All right, lady, where is he? Just tell us quick and there'll be no trouble.
Where is who?
Connie, these men must be detectives looking for Sheridan.
Detectives? Hey, did you get that, Slapsy?
Slapsy? He's Slapsy O'Connor.
Slapsy O'Connor. Oh. Oh, this is wonderful. Don't you get it now, all of you?
Don't we get what?
Now, look here, miss.
Oh, this whole thing, it's a joke. Why, he's simply trying to pull our gag. Pull the same gag
on us. Why, sure, Connie, you're right.
Oh, and as for these men... Oh, that's wonderful. And to think we fell for it. All right now, Mr. Whatever your name is, relax. You both did a grand job.
Lady, I'm warning you.
Oh, don't be stubborn. He hit her.
Connie, look out. He is Slapsy O'Connor. I've seen his picture.
Your friend's right, miss, and there's none of us doing any more laughing. Now, where's that cowboy? Come on, we saw him come in here. You, I said, where is the guy?
He's right here, O'Connor.
Dave.
Now, drop those guns and put them up, both of you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Dave, look out! Oh, Dave, that was a honey. Are you all right?
Sure.
Hey, what goes on here?
All right, all right. Where is that guy? Come on in, boys. Hey, who's this fella shouting at us for the police?
I am, officer. You'll find that Eastern National Bank money over there in that bag.
The money from... Hey, is this on the level?
Well, it should be. That's Slapsy O'Connor, and the other one is Bugs Halstead.
Well, I'll be an Irish cop. What about the rest of these people?
Why, I'm...
I can't tell you much about the men, officer, but I'll be glad to swear in court that this girl told me she was Slapsy O'Connor's ma.
Dave, don't tell him that. He'll believe...
And this one boasts she runs around with Bugs Halstead.
Why, officer, that's a lie. My father's
As
the owner...
As for the other...
Dave, you win. Now we admit it. Please, officer, I'm Connie Bannister, and these people are all my friends. You've got the men you want.
Yeah? Well, I'll take your word for it. For now. Come along, you two. Come on out of here.
Oh, Mr. Sheridan, you were marvelous.
Yes, old man, I'll have to admit that...
Maybe we'd better be going.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody.
Of course, we might have tried to say goodbye.
Who would have cared if we did? Well, why don't you say something?
Why don't you?
Well, Dave,
I want you to know, but...
What I really mean is...
My turn?
Your turn.
Well, look, you said you wondered where Wyoming had been all your life. You did say that, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
So how about it?
You mean you and me?
You and me.
Well, you see,
I know
Dave,
it's pretty quick.
My turn?
Your turn.
Yes, Dave. I've got an idea. I'm going to know where Wyoming is for the rest of my life.
In just a moment, ladies and gentlemen, our stars, Glenda Ferrell and Chester Morris, will come back to give you their personal Easter greeting. But before they do... Would you permit me to make a friendly suggestion to all you spring brides-to-be? Many of you have already chosen your new home, and in the weeks to come, you'll be busy selecting the furnishings for that home. And since then, too, is the time you'll select your silver, may I suggest sterling silver? Believe me, you'll find it the most richly satisfying investment you've ever made. But sterling silver is genuine, solid silver. It will remain a treasured possession as long as you live. What will please you even more, there's several practical ways whereby you can purchase sterling silver, international sterling silver, on even a limited budget. For example,
International Sterling's layaway plan, ladies and gentlemen, makes it possible for you to buy a complete service of solid silver and make payments when and as convenient. Or you can buy single place settings, one or two at a time, as low as $16.75 apiece. And every international sterling pattern is breathtakingly lovely. Particularly irresistible to 1939 brides is the new Prelude pattern, a solid silver design whose purity of line and captivating rose motif possess ageless charm. A pattern whose craftsmanship is so exquisite, it will go proudly with backgrounds of any period. Be sure to visit your silverware dealer tomorrow, Monday, and ask about Prelude Sterling. Before you own it, you'll say, I never knew sterling silver cost so little. After you own it, you'll say, I never dreamed sterling silver could be such a thrill to own. And now back to Conrad Nagle.
Thank you, John. As is customary at this time, ladies and gentlemen, we draw aside our silver curtain and ask our stars, Glenda Ferrell and Chester Morris, to meet you in person. Thank you, Glenda and Chester, for a pair of swell performances.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine, Conrad. Did you see it?
My turn?
Your turn.
Take a card, any card.
Mysterious Morris.
This is where I came in at rehearsal 3 days ago.
No, Glenda, come on now,
Chester,
take a card.
We'd love to see a card trick, but really, we haven't time today.
All right.
Look, Chester, what do you consider your best quick trick?
My best quick trick? Well, frankly, I like this one.
Happy Easter, Conrad.
Well, he's disappeared.
I know. At lunch the other day, he did the same thing when the waiter brought the check.
Well, I suppose we'd better try to carry on.
Well, I'm afraid I can't, you see. He took my script with him.
Well, you can ad-lib something, can't you?
I never was a great hand in an emergency, but how about this? It's been grand working with you, and I think the new solid silver pattern prelude is lovely beyond words. I made it a point to see it the very first time I heard John Conte describe it.
Well, thank you very much, Glenda. Good night and come back soon.
By the way, folks, I left in such a hurry, I didn't get a chance to thank you for inviting me to appear on Silver Theater.
Say, Conrad, the voice of Mysterious Morris. Hey, Chester, where are you?
I'm over at the RKO lot where I'm working in a new aviation picture called Five Came Back.
Well, thank you, Chester Morris. We're still at Silver Theater where we're already beginning work on next week's drama, which will star your friend Robert Montgomery. Be sure to listen in next Sunday at this same time. The Man from Medicine Bow was written for Silver Theater by Paul Franklin and was adapted by True Borton. Original music heard on this program was composed and conducted by Felix Mills. All names and designations of persons and of business or social organizations used in the course of this broadcast are entirely fictitious, and no actual business or social organization and no living person is thereby actually referred to or designated. John Conte speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Make it real plain for you, mister. I came here to find a girl. And you're not leaving this room until you tell me where she is.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Ah, Mr. Paladin. You cigars, your tickets for theater tonight, and your newspaper.
Oh, thank you, hey boy. Now then, that's...
I would read the Sacramento Bee if I were you, Mr. Paladin.
Oh? Why would you do that, hey boy?
Because I already read. It's on page one.
Oh? Where?
There.
Ah. Wanted. Man with investigative ability, tact, perseverance for possibly hazardous mission.
He saw, you see?
Should be former army officer. Rather exacting demands, hey boy.
Oh, no, sir. Like it written just for you.
Communicate Colonel H.P. Lathrop, River Acres, Sacramento, California.
You know this colonel, Mr. Paladin?
No, but I think I'd like to meet him.
Oh, I should send him wire saying you are investigative and tactive and conservative.
No, never mind that, hey boy. Just say, have gun, will travel.
If you want to know more than merely what's going on in the world, if you want, in addition, the perspective of a brilliant world traveler whose entire life has been one fascinating travelogue, listen to Lowell Thomas. Each weekday evening, CBS Radio presents the man who has seen all, whose lively imagination and experience make him one of the world's natural raconteurs. For hard news or delightful human interest sidelights, join Lowell Thomas. You can't beat him. Enjoy the worldly wisdom of the man who climbed to the rooftop of the world to meet the boy god of Tibet in person. Get the slant of the man who went back of the beyond to Australia's Never Never Land. Follow the colorful views of a man as at home on camelback as in a taxi. Monday through Friday on most of these stations, hear Lowell Thomas reporting the news. It's a service of CBS Radio, part of the different sound that makes such a sound difference in your listening habits. This station, and behind it, the CBS Radio Network, is proud to bring you weeknights, Lowell Thomas reporting the news.
Colonel H.P. Lathrop, River Acres, Sacramento, California. The home was even more impressive than the address. A barefooted Indian servant girl admitted me and led me down a long hallway and left me standing in a waiting room, which was dwarfed by a giant coat of arms.
Paladin?
Yes.
Colonel Lathrop.
Happy to know you, sir.
And you, sir.
Ah, I see you've noticed my family coat of arms.
I could hardly not notice it, Colonel.
If pride of family be a sin, sir, then I'm guilty. I'm proud of my family heritage.
I'm certain you have every reason to be proud, Colonel.
I trust you'll bear that in mind when you attend to the mission I've been contemplating for you. Oh, I've heard of you, Mr. Paladin. I placed that ad hoping you would answer it. I need a man who is able... Oh, Martha, my dear.
I'm sorry. I didn't know we had visitors.
This is Mr. Paladin, my dear.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mrs. Lathrop?
Please forgive me. Pablo's very ill. I must hurry now. You'll be with us for dinner, Mr. Paladin?
Well, of course he will.
How nice. Excuse me now.
The eternal nurse. My wife's always ministering to the sick, the lame, and the lazy.
Colonel, what is it you wish of me?
Now, before we discuss business, you must refresh yourself. Tuolumne.
Yes, Colonel Lathrop.
Take Mr. Paladin's bag to his room. Draw his bath. You've plenty of time for a bath, sir. We dine at 8. Brandy? Cigar?
Yes, thank you, Colonel.
You're probably anxious to know why you're here.
I am.
I'm not certain my wife will approve of my reasons for contacting you.
I approve of you, my dear. That's enough.
Why am I here, Colonel?
I want you to locate a woman for me, Mr. Paladin. A woman named Gloria Morgan.
Yes, I've heard the name.
Well, then you've also heard of Lodestar, Nevada.
Yes.
You've heard of it, I'm sure, my dear.
Possibly I have. I can't say one way or the other.
During the silver boom, it was a roaring mining camp.
Was it? May I pour you more brandy, Mr. Paladin?
No, thank you.
Gloria Morgan was reigning queen of the Tenderloin district there until the boom was over. Then she disappeared.
And your interest in locating her, Colonel?
She's a missing chapter in a history I'm writing about the West.
Oh, heavens! Is she so important you have to hire Mr. Paladin to find her, Colonel?
Essential, my dear. I'm a stickler for exactness. I must meet her and know what she's like. I know that a gun battle was once fought for her favors. I know that her beauty and her fame were known throughout the camps. I know she imperiled hearts and lives with a smile. What I don't know is whether she still lives or not. And I must know.
Why don't you look into this matter yourself?
I regret, Mr. Paladin, that I'm not physically up to it. You'll take the job?
Yes. Yes, I will. I'd like to meet her, too.
Friends drop in. Let your hospitality show you're sociable in the modern manner. Pepsi, you know, is the favorite of the smart and young at heart.
Be sociable, look smart. Keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
Have you tried a Pepsi lately?
It was a curious mission, searching for a dance hall queen. But no more curious than the man who instituted it, or the reasons he gave for wanting Gloria Morgan located. There were other people who had different ideas.
I come to your room to warn you. Do not go to Lodestar. Colonel is a monster. He liked to hurt people. He is torturer.
Who is he torturing?
His wife. He has been stabbing her with that name, Gloria Morgan. I think she... his sweetheart once. He want to find her. Bring her here.
He told me he never laid eyes on the woman.
He tell lie.
Perhaps, but then I'm paid to locate Gloria Morgan.
If you do, if you bring her back here, I kill you.
Welcome to Lodestar. You like a room?
A room and some information.
Yes, sir. Room 33. Any sign here, please?
All right.
Now, what was the information you wanted?
Well, I'm trying to locate a lady of some repute named Gloria Morgan.
I haven't got an empty room.
The key to 33, please.
It's filled.
The key.
All right. Well, you ain't going to get nowhere around Lodestar looking for the likes of her.
Bartender, I want to buy
him out of it.
I haven't named it yet.
Well, whatever it is, we ain't got it here, mister.
All right.
Hey!
I'll get it myself.
I heard you was kind of frisky and quick.
I am. She must have been quite a lady.
What lady?
What did I say, lady?
Yeah.
The slip of the tongue. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure she was a lady, judging by the things I've heard of her.
You're one called Paladin?
Yeah.
Move on, Maisie.
Shut up. I can talk to him if I want to. You've been asking about Gloria Morgan, ain't you? Oh, I knew her. I worked with her. Roomed with her once. How about some of that?
Huh? My pleasure. Where can I find Gloria Morgan?
I don't know where little Gloria is. But I can tell you where I wish she was.
Oh?
My man left me when he saw her. That's what. For all around good looks, she couldn't hold a candle to me.
Maisie.
Oh, Mr. Summers.
Get out of here, Maisie. Go on.
Yes, sir.
Stay where you are, Maisie.
My name is Clay Summers, Paladin. Don't reach for the gun. Now let's go.
It would appear I have no choice, Mr. Summers.
That's right, you don't. Come on. Your horse?
Yes.
Okay, I'll just take your gun. Now, Paladin, you show your face in Lodestar again, I'll kill you with your own gun. There'll be no fair fight. I'll ambush you. All right, mount up. Now, ride out.
I was a teenage Jane. That's right, I was a teenage Jane, living in a lovely scratch on the tile bathroom floor. I came in on a saddle chew, and then I moved to the floor. There were millions of us James, playing rock around the sink or hiding in sect. My hostess was a wonderful woman. Every week she'd splash all around us with nice warm soap and water. But then some rat squealed to her about Lysol, and we had to beat it. Lysol kills germs. It was murder.
Yes, if you're a germ, you'll hate Lysol, because Lysol kills disease germs, many deadly viruses, too. Lysol also destroys bathroom odors. Cleaning every week with Lysol in the suds disinfects your bathroom from one cleaning to the next as nothing else can. A little Lysol brand disinfectant in the suds makes your favorite cleaners work better, including many that claim to sanitize. Lysol is now available in regular or pine fragrance, as little as 29 cents.
We're looking for a new bathroom to live in. How about yours?
Thank you.
I rode as ordered. But by nightfall, I was back in Lodestar, ready to meet the man who had threatened to shoot me on sight. He seemed genuinely surprised to see me again when I appeared at his office. Hold it. I know what you told me, Mr. Summers. Now I'm telling you. This is a derringer. Sit down, please.
What do you want?
My gun, for one thing. It's a fine weapon. I just couldn't leave it behind. Where is it?
Laying over there.
Well.
Keep your hands off that picture.
That lady is lovely. The Gloria Morgan?
Put that picture down.
I don't want the picture, Mrs. Summers, but I want to talk about it. You must have been very fond of her. I don't understand how a woman like her rates your loyalty, why men will kill for her. She was filth. She was a cheat, a liar, and a thief, and worse. I know that for a fact.
You know nothing, Paladin.
Then what is the truth?
She was all things to all men. She was saint or devil or whatever.
I understand there was a gun battle fought for her favors.
Not for her favors. For her hand in marriage.
Oh.
I suppose the other fella had as much right to court her as I did.
You?
But I... It was a good fight and a fair one. When it was all over, we were both near death.
And Gloria Morgan?
Well, she told us that she loved neither one of us. And she went away. All I have left of her is that picture. I don't know where she is now. I can't tell you that.
You don't have to tell me, Mr. Summers. I know where to find Gloria Morgan. No, I can't very well
do that.
I told you I would kill you.
So has everyone else, and I'm still alive. I want to see Colonel Lathrop.
You find out about that woman?
Yes.
You are going to tell them?
I was hired to. But I don't think that Gloria Morgan is going to hurt your mistress, Ptolemy. Now take me to the Colonel.
Come.
Colonel, Miss Lathrop.
Paladin.
Paladin. Come in, come in.
Well, how's your patient, Mrs. Lathrop?
Pablo is well, thank you. That'll be all, Tuolumne.
Yes, Mrs. Lathrop.
Well, were you successful, Mr. Paladin? Did you find Gloria Morgan?
Yes.
Where is she?
Perhaps it's more important to know who she was rather than where she is, Colonel.
I know who she was.
I doubt it. I talked to many people, and few agreed as to exactly what she was. Some alleged that she was a strumpet. Some held to the contrary. Others thought that Gloria Morgan was a victim of a rather ugly set of circumstances over which she managed to triumph.
What circumstances?
She was abandoned in a mining camp by a man who had brought her there under the pretense of marriage. No money, no friends, no one to turn to. She did the best she could. She sang and danced in the saloons. She shared in the money that men spent for the pleasure of drinking in her company.
Is this distressing you, my dear?
No. Go ahead, Mr. Paladin.
Well, apparently Gloria Morgan managed to do these things without compromising her essential integrity. Two men wanted to marry her. She rejected them both. But as far as I could learn, both men are still in love with her.
Go on, Mr. Paladin.
Many others still love her for her generosity. Now, I'm trying to crystallize my impression of Gloria Morgan as I learned to know her, Colonel.
And that impression is?
That she was a remarkable woman, whose friendship I would have considered a high honor, Colonel.
Please go on, Mr. Patton.
Gloria Morgan's married today.
Happily?
Unhappily. I'm sure it was a good marriage to a proud man until he received information exposing his wife's past in the worst kind of light. So out of hurt, arrogant pride, he planned to punish her by having a third party confront her with proof of her identity in his presence.
That will be quite enough, sir.
The scheme was unworthy of the man, Colonel. Now, I have an idea that he was still in love with his wife, but he was sick in his mind. And the pity of it all is that if this man had approached his wife in a reasonable manner, I'm certain she would have told him all he wanted to know.
Yes, I'm sure she would have done that. But my husband paid you to make a report, Mr. Paladin. Why don't you make it?
The whereabouts of Gloria Morgan? You want to know where she is, Colonel?
No, Mr. Paladin.
It's just as well. The Gloria Morgan of Boomtown days is dead. Do you believe that, Colonel?
Yes. Yes, I believe it. Excuse me.
Let him alone for a few moments, then go to him, Mrs. Lathrop.
Thank you very much, Mr. Paladin.
Terribly sorry.
It's quite all right. It's entirely my fault.
Oh, on the contrary, I wasn't looking where I was going.
We could debate the matter if you'd care to join me for a cup of coffee. My name is Paladin.
I shan't forget your gallantry or your intriguing invitation, Mr. Paladin, but I must hurry along. Good day.
Good day. We will meet again.
Of course we shall.
Oh, Mr. Paladin, when you come back to San Francisco?
Last night, hey boy. Hey boy, you're just the one I want to see.
Oh, then why don't you look at me?
That lady just going up the stairs. When did she come to San Francisco?
Oh, maybe 4 days ago.
She's in what suite?
Mezzanine suite.
I'll want theater tickets for tonight's performance.
Mr. Paladin.
And after you get those, see the chef. Now, a small supper, something very special, with wine for two people, served in my suite.
You better make it three, Mr. Paladin.
Why?
Him.
Who?
Big man over there. He her husband.
Husband?
Husband. He's a bad turn of events, eh, Mr. Paladin?
Well, I hope he appreciates her. Never mind the tickets, hey boy. But have the chef lay on a supper for two anyway.
Well, what do you do? Who you have dinner with?
I don't know. Don't you ever get hungry?
Me?
Why not?
Me?
We don't have much time to talk like we used to.
It's true, but about me? A supper?
And you can tell me about that remarkable man, your uncle.
Oh, yes, sir. Shall we say, 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock will be fine.
Since spring is a season of awakening things, of summer's fulfillment, it's fitting that every year the American Cancer Society should raise its vitally needed funds in April. For each year, the April harvest of donations gives promise of new impetus in the drive to conquer cancer. Your local collection, under the banner of the American Cancer Society, is a drive to finance unlimited research and experiment. Progress already made has given hardworking doctors and scientists more hope than ever before. No panaceas have been found, but a growing number of cancers can be and are being cured. Thousands live today who would have seen no hint of hope a decade ago. Help spread the effectiveness of the anti-cancer crusade in two ways, with a checkup and a check. Have the family's health checked once a year, for early detection of cancer is still the safest road to a cure. And this month, give a generous donation to your local cancer society or to Cancer in care of your post office. Do it today. Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Michael Fessier and adapted for radio by John Dawson. Featured in the cast were Jack Moyles, Lawrence Dobkin, Virginia Gregg, Eve McVeigh, Lillian Bayef, and Frank Gerstle. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from the Silver Theater, Have Gun Will Travel, thousands of other old-time radio episodes, and everything else Relic Radio, all at the website, relicradio.com. Don't forget to donate if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. It's how the show keeps coming to you every week. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.